My guest is Richard Master. He's the founder of a group called Business Initiative for Health Policy. He's also the CEO of a business that does about $200 million worth of business a year. It's MCS Industry out of Pennsylvania. It's the nation's leading supplier of wall and poster frames. And he was in Washington, D.C. alongside Bernie Sanders when Bernie Sanders introduced a Medicare for All Act of 2017. Mr. Master, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great, David. Good to be with you.
Why is the issue of single payer or Medicare for All, whatever label you want to give it, why is it picking up momentum now?
Well, I think, as a result of the Affordable Care Act debates and also we're now headed above 18% of gross domestic product as a healthcare bill for the country, where other industrialized countries are operating at half of that, 9-10% of GDP. I think people are really starting to understand it. And the business community is starting to speak out. Warren Buffett, the CEO of Berkshire Hathaway and one of our wealthiest Americans, said it 3-4 weeks ago at their annual stockholders meeting. He said healthcare costs are the tapeworm in the belly of American competitiveness. He told the business community, we're misguided in our obsession with taxes. The thing that's really hurting us is this runaway volatile healthcare system.
It seems like this is a message that would work for it. Would not matter whether you are a Republican business owner or a Democrat business owner, conservative or liberal. If I'm a business owner, I want to find out ways that I could save money or make the wisest decisions. And I've read some of the things that you have written. You are saying we will make wiser decisions if we save money on healthcare.
Absolutely. It's certainly a major expense. I mean, we're spending, millions and millions of dollars at MCS, and every year we get a 10%, 20% demand from the insurance companies for increased premiums, and we have to negotiate that. And we're seeing that the cost to the insurance company, administrative costs, profits, and whatever are, 17-20% we have to pay as an insurance agent of our premium dollars. So I mean, it's nuts. And then you look at Medicare in the United States; it's about 2% of premium dollars. 98 cents of every dollar that goes into Medicare goes out to providers of care, versus 80 cents. So this is real, and this is hundreds of billions of dollars that are wasted, and that doesn't even begin to address the administrative complexity that private insurance, these multi-payer, people that bring into our system and sort of harass doctors and hospitals.
What would be the biggest impact? I get insurance through my workplace. My employer gives me, or he doesn't give me, that's for sure, but I don't pay all of the insurance costs because I get it through my insurance. If something like what Senator Sanders has in mind passes, do we know what that would do to those of us who are covered through our workplace?
Yes. I mean, there would be a payroll deduction like there is right now for Medicare. And that payroll deduction would be less to your employer than he's currently paying on average to cover you with private commercial health insurance. And you might pay a modest premium. What you're paying right now, probably a modest premium share. The average, I think, is around 25% of the premiums charged to businesses are paid by employees, and it's part of their deduction. Mm-hmm. And that would save money, certainly, if you were made $100,000 or $150,000 or less. And there would not be any administration required by your employer. So your employer actually would make more money. You would have more bottom line profitability, and at wage increase time, he may be more generous. He should be more generous to you on wage increases. I mean, right now, what we have in this country are flat wages. And healthcare costs, the cost of the healthcare benefit, is the biggest reason for flat wages.
An opinion writer for the Washington Post on the day that we're recording this interview says, you know what, if something like this goes further, it sounds simpler, fairer, less wasteful, and cheaper, but it involves painful political choices, sharp tax hikes, and some degree of buy-in from the many stakeholders who are going to get shafted in the transition. That's a pretty deep statement there with a lot of different ramifications, but how do you answer those who are saying, as another writer said, the time is right to do this, it's just going to be hard to do this because of the unknown cost of it, and how do you appease those who are the stakeholders who feel like, hey, this isn't anything good for us in this?
Well, yeah, and they are going to suffer, but they've been, they're unnecessary middlemen. We do not need insurance companies, commercial insurance companies in this country the way they're structured right now. I mean, Germany has some, but they're essentially nonprofit, very low cost, with a standardized, very comprehensive medical plan. Ours cost huge amounts of money. You don't see them anywhere else in the industrialized world. Well, there are a lot of folks who work in those companies. Pharmacy benefit managers, that's another anomaly peculiar to the United States. Huge amount of profitability associated with that. We don't need them. We really don't need them. So, you know, I'm a business person. I look for best practices around the world. I look for the best way of organizing systems. You know, when we have huge projects, we have engineers engineering these projects and planning. And certainly, we can make this system a whole lot more, efficient. And that's what this is really all about. Now, on the other side, you're accurately reflecting that there is going to be a huge pushback. Pharmaceutical and medical device companies, they've spent $3 billion over the last 15 years lobbying Congress, you know. Mm-hmm. And they've been very successful. They got Medicare that does not, negotiate drug prices. That's they're doing. Insurance companies, $2 billion over the last 15 years. So the industry certainly is in the catbird seat when it comes to government policy. And now that the American public is beginning to realize that, and 60% of the people want a nationally financed health care system to replace the Affordable Care Act.
Well, I can say
that we're not talking about privatizing the delivery of care. We let the delivery of care stay the way it is. But let's, on this financial side of the equation, let's figure out how to do it better.
Well, there's going to be a lot of opposition, as those who have, as you've said for years, been very influential in the decision-making process in Washington and in our state capitals are going to say they will not go quietly on this. So I would say all of us need to be prepared for those who are going to present very bad horror stories in regard to it. I guess one of the differences now is that you have like 16 senators, Democratic senators, who are at least were willing to put their name on the idea with Senator Sanders and say we need to pursue something like this. That's a change.
That is a big change. You know, 6 months ago I was in Washington talking to Senator Sanders' staff, and they I asked them, you know, who are your allies in the Senate? And they said at that point, well, there are none. We're all in separate foxholes. Hmm. Well, now we've got 16, and frankly, we're going to have 25. And then we're going to have, you know, most of the Democratic senators will come on. And they'll be coming out of the foxhole. They'll be charging across the field. They're going to be holding hearings around the country to get public input. And what we're seeing is this collective consciousness, the awareness of what Medicare for All will do, what single payer will do. And I think we're going to be successful. It may take a few more years, but ultimately we have to be successful. Otherwise, the healthcare system in the United States will eat the rest of the economy alive. No question about that in my mind.
I need to let
and
you.
Go ahead.
No, I'm go sorry. Ahead. I'll let you finish with a thought there.
Yeah, and you know, I'm certainly a capitalist. I'm a fiscally conservative person, but I recognize that healthcare is not appropriate to consider in the free market context. You know, we don't have a properly educated patient. There is no time to contemplate choice. We have patents and monopolies that are rampant throughout the system, including in not only in pharmaceutical drugs but regional monopolies in hospitals. So we've got to have, you know, a different way of looking at this. Medicare has done an excellent job of negotiating price where it can negotiate legally price, and it deserves to be the single payer.
Well, we may not be ready to go, as people like to say, to go big on healthcare right now, but at least we're going bigger than we have in the past, it seems to me, as far as making a decision like this.
We're getting closer and closer, and I'm it's great to be on your show and to be able to articulate these views.
Well, it's a conversation I like have had for a while, but I think it's one that maybe will catch people's attention, and if they give a fair listen to it, they'll be considering what kind of changes make sense from their point of view. I thank you for what work you're doing on this, and I want to tell people again, Richard Masters, the CEO of MCS Industries, founder of the Business Initiative for Health Policy. He's also the producer of some documentaries on these topics like Fix It, Healthcare at the Tipping Point, Big Pharma, Market Failure, and I think you got a third that's in production. Is that correct?
Yes, we do, and you can see the movies free of charge on fixithealthcare.com. That's one word. Or if you want to pay 99 cents, you can go on Amazon, and it should be up on Netflix shortly as well. They're very well received, and I think your listening audience would benefit from seeing them.
I think so also. All right, sir, I'll let you. May I ask one more question? This is kind of going back to the employer-sponsored. Why would we still have to get our insurance through an employer if we had single payer and it was patterned after Medicare? We wouldn't even need to have to mess with the insurance through our workplace, would we?
We would not, you know, as long as the coverage is comprehensive. And certainly Senator Sanders' bill does contain very comprehensive provisions of care.
Okay, all right.
You're absolutely right. The employer would get out of the business of providing health care, and that would mean, frankly, that we the incentives for discriminating against older applicants for jobs or older people who are being retained for or not retained for employment because they cost a lot. There would be a lot of other real benefits. Wages should go up in this kind of environment.
Well, I'm such a supporter of what you're trying to accomplish and what the senator's trying to accomplish, so I hope other people will start to give it a fair shake also. Thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thanks so much, David, and look forward to talking to you again.